Hi again, everyone, and welcome to Amarin's Podcast, episode 126. It's election eve, and so my co-host Jason is joining me again today as we wrap up this never-ending election campaign.
Hello from Washington, D.C.
Well,
yes, never-ending.
Yes. I'll tell you, I can't wait for this to be over. It's I've got knots in my stomach the size of a Buick, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to remain calm. I'm trying to have a weekend free of it. It didn't exactly work as planned, but it was probably, yeah, I wasn't going to sites every 20 minutes. Oh, what is it now? Oh, what is it now? Like it would change in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing we should probably do is we should take a look at where the Electoral College is shaping up at this stage.
Okay. Going to our site that we have used throughout the primaries and the general election is realclearpolitics.com. And the Electoral College looks like this. For Obama and Biden, solid is 228, leaning is 50 for a total of 278. For McCain-Palin, solid is 118, leading is 14, and there are 128 toss-up electoral votes. The thing to remember here is 270 gets you to the presidency.
And I was just going to say, I over the past few days, I've seen quite a few pundits talking about the map and where things are at. And the thing that a lot of people have to remember is that there are a number of scenarios in which Barack Obama can win 270 electoral votes. It is harder for McCain, but we have
much
to,
harder.
We all have to remember it's not impossible. And I think that's what has got both Jason and me nervous and tense.
Yes.
But as I've said to several people in the past couple of days, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Because I'm cautiously optimistic as well. Yeah, I think he can.
Well, that's all very hopeful. Now, one of the things that I wanted to mention, I'm just going to mention in passing, I'm not going to go into any detail, was that I ran across a site or a page of Talking Points Memo's site where they have put a map of the various sleazy tactics that the Palin-McCain campaign and the Republicans have used around the country. And it's an interactive map. You can click on one of the states and find out what specifically they did and what the nature of the attack was. It might have been a robocall. It might have been a sleazy flyer. It could have been any number of things. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes at amarinspodcast.com, just because I think it's interesting. But we've certainly talked about that, all that sort of stuff already,
yes.
So I'm not going to go into it now. And the election is, of course, big news in most of the developed world, I'd say, probably. It's been reported heavily here in New Zealand, I know, and at least what I have seen of Australia, it's been covered there as well. And I know that in our household, we're planning a little election-watching event, I suppose would be the word. I was going to say party, but event is probably a better word. A little more cautious. We're starting when the polls start closing, actually probably about 12:30, 1 o'clock our time, and then moving on until it's all over.
Uh-huh.
And we're hoping, of course, it will end in celebration, but we'll see.
Yes, we will.
Now, there was one more thing that I wanted to mention about the whole campaigning business, and that's that a reminder that they're expecting a record voter turnout tomorrow, a heavy turnout tomorrow. And if a voter is in line at the time the polls close, they still have the legal right to cast a ballot.
Right.
So if you're in line when the polls close, don't get out of line. Stay there, wait, and vote. There is nothing more important than voting tomorrow. Unless you've already voted, of course.
Well, that's true, too. Yes.
Now, we're deliberately keeping today's episode a little bit short, partly because the recent episodes have been a little bit long. But we're going to move on to comments, if that's all right with you, Jason.
Sure, that sounds good.
I didn't discuss timing, you see. But before that, I just want to do a couple of quick things to remind regular listeners that the podcast later this week will be with Mark from Slap Upside the Head, which I recorded last week. And then next week, we'll probably be back to normal schedule. And I'm hoping to be able to put up a video podcast over the weekend. But we'll see. I'm not promising that at this stage because I might not be able to put it together in time during my busiest week of the month. So that's what's coming up. But now we're going to move on to comments. And first, I have a phone comment from Tom the Ramble Redhead.
Hey, Arthur. This is Tom, a.k.a. the Ramble Redhead. Just want to leave you a quick message to let you know that I think you might know this, but on Tuesday, November 4th, not only do I get to grow older, but also it's a big day for all of us in the United States to be able to vote for our president as well as other political offices. But the other thing that I want to talk to you is there's an election that's just as important. And I just wanted to thank not only you, but also Roger Green for his support of the program, because he has went to podcastwords.com and voted for my show in the best GLBT category. And I just want to encourage all your wonderful listeners out there, as well as to hope you'll continue to do so until November 6th. Because pretend like you're in Chicago and you get to vote over and over again every day for till November 6th. So anyway, I just want to give a shout-out and say thank you for your support, because, you know, I love your program, and you're a great guy. And I really wish you all the very rest. And I just want to say that my opponents are going to raise your taxes, so don't let them win. Anyway, remember, podcastawards.com and a shameless plug for the RambleRedhead.com. 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 Okay, bye.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. And, of course, first of all, happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
What Tom's talking about, of course, is the podcast awards at podcastawards.com, I think it is, where there are numerous fine, upstanding podcasts that people can vote for. And Roger Green did a blog post talking about some of the people that he was voting for, and I voted for some of the ones that Roger mentioned, sort of because, well, he voted for Ramble because I mentioned Ramble Redhead very often. And, of course, I voted for Remarkable Palate in the food and drink category and Feast of Fools for People's Choice because I've got friends there as well. So, basically, if you're interested, podcastawards.com. And, with you know, the way that Tom's messages are always so serious, you'd never know that he ever did any stand-up comedy, would you?
No, I guess not.
But moving on to the written comments, I'm actually going to back up a little bit because I missed a couple of comments from John Q. Public that were over at the Podomatic site. I don't go over there all that often anymore, partly because I was getting so many Chinese spam comments that I just stopped looking. And so I did miss these. My apologies to you, John. And also a reminder to anyone, if the version of the Amarin's podcast you have has a little P next to it, like this one would be Amarin's 126P, that means that you have the wrong feed, and that's the Podomatic feed. It's eventually going to go away. The best thing to do is to go to amarinspodcast.com and click on the subscribe button on any podcast episode and resubscribe to the new feed. But here are the comments, and these are going back a bit, as I say. This one is for Amarin's 119, the issue of healthcare, which is actually one of the ones I did myself, and it was about healthcare in New Zealand and so on. Mm-hmm. But it's related, so that's why I'm mentioning it now. He said, after listening to the third and final presidential debate last night, it is quite clear that Obama has a plan and McCain has a slogan. I can't understand why anyone would buy the idea that a taxable $5,000 credit would do anything for anyone. Anyone who buys that just isn't listening. And I completely agree.
Yeah.
And then on Amarin's 123, Politicast the last 2 weeks, John also says, great summary of events. Jason's comment about the fact that depending on how the election goes, we might be sharpening knives and poking our eyes out made me want to expand the image to some of our friends. I think if anyone should be beating themselves up, it would be the log cabin Republicans who have sold their souls to the devil. If there was a way, I would take back their gay cards and use my glove to slap them across both cheeks and give them a kick in the butt as they are ejected from the Brotherhood. I think there's probably a few people who might agree with you on that, John.
Well, yeah, they're one of the amazing groups. Or to see, you know, like in the convention, the camera's always like, oh, here's an African American. Let's show a person of color amongst the sea of white faces. Oh, here's another person. Here's another African American.
We've got both of them.
Yes. No, I think they were free, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it's the same. I don't understand it.
No,
so
I don't.
It's just very strange.
Indeed, it is. And now we'll go over to the comments at amarinspodcast.com. And first up was Anne, who said, "Great podcast, guys. I especially liked your follow-ons to Rogers and my discussion. Jason particularly made good points about how it's easier to realize it's time to quit when it's not you that needs to do the quitting." Funny moment.
No, that's very true.
It is. Funny moment this morning. Sat down in a Christchurch waiting room. Christchurch, of course, is the biggest city in the South Island. Sat down in a Christchurch waiting room, just as the woman in the chair next to me said to another, quote, "You know how those Americans are." I said, "What?" one word, so she didn't hear my accent. She looked a bit caught out, but did manage to say, you know, they're always voting for weird people. We all hoped this wasn't going to be the case this time.
yes. Yes, we do.
And of course, Anne is a fellow American expat who lives in the South Island. And the next comment was from Roger Green, who said, the reason that McCain didn't attack Obama over Khalidi, is that how you say it? Khalidi?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, although Palin did, was that McCain has a connection with Khalidi. And then he provides a link to Keith Olbermann through a blog. Oh, and here's the conservative elite snob Fred Barnes complaining about old people voting early when only busy people like himself should be afforded the privilege. Given the hiccups in the early voting, something that, alas, I cannot do in New York State, can you blame people for getting out early even if they don't need to? And he provides a link to that. He says, second video, the first one is regarding Liddy Dole becoming stupid.
Right.
And she's probably the one Republican senator I most want to see defeated, I have to say. But thanks for that, Anne, and thanks for that, Roger.
Yes, thank you so much. And, thank you for listening.
Yes, and thanks for the links too, Roger. I actually did see the thing with Fred Barnes. It was on the Beltway Boys on Fox Noise. And it was a stupid comment. Both of them, Republicans are really hating this early voting. And they're also obsessed with voter fraud. So between the two of them, they're all in a tizzy, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and they hate early voting because they can't corrupt that.
Mm. Yeah, and of course the irony is that last time it overwhelmingly helped George Bush.
Well, yeah, and this time it's not going to. Yeah. You know, in Florida and North Carolina are extremely competitive because of it. I think it's very possible. The sort of undercurrent that I get is that Obama's going to win Florida because of early voting. So knock on wood on that one.
Absolutely. Well, we thought we would close out the campaign with something a little bit different. And it's sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, sort of our closing, not closing argument exactly, but closing statements, we'll say, about this election campaign. Because after it's over, we'll go back to talking about just normal political things and whatever government of the day is doing. But we just thought we would do something a little bit different. And by a flip of the imaginary coin... Jason is going to go first.
Okay. Well, I'd like to start off by saying something generally about the past few years. I'm tired of the notion that somehow because I don't agree with the party that controls the presidency, I'm somehow un-American, that somehow I'm not a real American. To put it bluntly, I'm tired of my patriotism and love of this country being constantly questioned by the party in power. Having said that, I'd like to add that the single most important thing anyone can do tomorrow is to go out and vote. Furthermore, you should encourage everyone you know to vote. Call them, email them, tell them to vote. Democracy does not work unless people participate, so vote. As for me, tomorrow I'm voting for Barack Obama. I could go into great detail as to why I'm supporting him, but I'm just going to mention a few points. I think he's right on taxes. I think the middle class deserves a tax cut. I think he's right on foreign policy. I think electing Barack Obama president in and of itself will go a long way to restoring our standing in the world. I know he's ready to make the hard choices necessary to keep this country safe. I think he's right on health care. Health care is a right, not a responsibility. Also, you shouldn't have to lose your shirt if you get sick or someone you know gets sick or one of your loved ones. I could go on issue after issue, but I'll close with this. We've had 8 years of fear. It's time to have 4 years of hope. And that hope is Barack Obama.
Wow. I agree with absolutely everything Jason just said. Maybe I shouldn't even bother doing mine. No, very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We haven't compared notes. We haven't let each other see what we were going to say. So we'd both be somewhat surprised. And I sort of... Did a different tack, I suppose. And I'm actually going to read what I wrote because I'm just more comfortable doing that. But I tried to think what I could say that hasn't already been said, and there's not much. I bet nearly all listeners of this podcast have already made up their minds, and in any case, I've been pretty clear about my opinions on this election, so I'm unlikely to convince anyone at the last minute. So instead, I thought I'd share a little bit about my life's political journey that led to this moment and the reasons why I voted as I did. I wrote in my blog about how one of my earliest memories was political, a mock presidential election held in my kindergarten class. I talked about how I distrusted the whole setup because since we couldn't yet read or write, we had to depend on the teacher to write down the candidate we wanted. I learned to be suspicious of potential voter fraud at 5 years old. What I haven't talked about before was who I voted for in that mock election, because even now I find it kind of embarrassing. I voted for Barry Goldwater. You see, I was born into a Republican family. From an early age, I was taught the importance of limited government, of individual freedom and liberty, but my Christian upbringing also taught me that we have a duty to care for those who cannot care for themselves, and that we must always strive for justice and fairness. In 1980, the first election in which I was old enough to vote for president, the Republican Party veered sharply to the right. It became a party I no longer recognized and could no longer support. Their zeal to rein in government meant the poor and middle classes were left to fend for themselves, and large parts of society were shut out entirely. As part of this, a religious fanaticism was unleashed. I never again called myself a Republican. So my arrival at the door of the Democratic Party was as a refugee. I was escaping the arrogance and intolerance of Reagan's Republicans. Over the years, I worked in grassroots politics alongside some brilliant, talented people trying to make society better for everyone, despite the Republicans' efforts to do the opposite. And I always voted. Despite everything, I came to believe in the fundamental decency and tolerance of difference that I found present among individual Americans throughout the country. I learned that, more often than not, the failure of American politics is not the failure of the people, the voters, but rather a failure of imagination from the people who would be our leaders. They have been, especially on the Republican side, committed to maintaining what has already passed and to ensuring that, as a people, we cannot become better than we are. But just as they have failed to lead, we have failed to demand more from them. We've been content to let them practice their politics of division and reaction. We've allowed them to bully opposition into silence, and we've allowed them to convince the American people to vote against their own best interests. Not counting kindergarten, this will be the 8th presidential election I voted in. But this year is different from all the others. I am proud that I cast my vote for Barack Obama for president. In fact, I've never been as committed to a presidential candidate as I am to Barack Obama, because he represents the values I hold and the beliefs I've established from the political journey I've just described. Barack Obama offers the best chance we've had in more than a generation to bring Americans together in a new centrist majority. Together with the new Congress, he will have the ability to marginalize our enemies on the extreme right once and for all, not by the tired, divisive politics of the past 8 years or so, but by finding common ground and restoring civility. And that means we can finally start moving forward together. It means we can stop living in fear of the next outrageous attack from the religious fascists, as we instead create the society we deserve, one in which all people are equal and deserving equally of the blessings of freedom and liberty. I have no illusions that President Obama will be able to wave a magic wand and make the political excesses of the past 3 decades disappear. But he can help us, the centrist majority, to take our country back from the extremists who have been running it. Imagine a world in which we all strive to be a better people than we are today. Imagine a country that calls upon the better angels of our nature and not upon the basest selfish instincts. Imagine a politics that embraces difference as a strength and politicians who build a united country. If you can imagine it, we can have it. It all begins with a simple thing, hope. Barack Obama offers us the opportunity to create real change. Are we ready and able to accept? If so, there's one clear first step. We must elect Barack Obama president and let nothing keep us from voting. Can we do that? You know the answer. Yes, we can.
Very good. Very good indeed.
Well, I wanted to end on something a bit more positive than has been the case lately, and that was sort of my approach, I guess.
Oh, very good. Very interesting.
And that's it for this election. For us. We'll both be watching the results with bated breath, no doubt. And then afterwards.
The main thing is we need to learn to breathe.
Yes. Breathe.
Yes. In and out. In and out.
And avoid caffeine.
Yes, in all likelihood, yes, that's probably true.
Yes. Well, we will.
Well, once
go ahead.
Once again, vote. Yes. Vote early, vote often. No, I'm sorry. That's from our Chicago roots, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's the old joke. Even Tom mentioned it.
Participate. That's the single most important thing. Yep. It really, really is important. Yep. No matter how long it takes you, participate.
And voting is the most fundamental and important right that free people have. I mean, remember when South Africa became a democracy and people stood in line for days to vote. Surely we can stand in line, if need be, for a few hours. There is nothing more important that people can do than voting. So don't let anybody stop you, and don't let anybody tell you any differently. Well, that's going to be it for this pre-election stuff. We will be back at some stage after the election for a wrap-up once we've had a chance to recover, because, of course, here in New Zealand, we have our own elections on Saturday. And
yes.
I'm not going to be too anxious to talk about any politics until probably the end of the following week. But we'll see. We'll schedule something, and, of course, you'll see it in the feed once that is posted. But for now, that's it from me here in New Zealand.
And that's it from me here in Washington, D.C.
Go vote. Bye, everybody.
Go vote. Bye.
It was a creed written into the founding documents that declared the destiny of a nation. Yes, we can. It was whispered by slaves and abolitionists as they blazed the trail toward freedom. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
It was sung.
It was sung by immigrants as they struck out to the distant shore of pioneers who pushed westward against unforgiving wilderness. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
It was the call of workers organized. Women who reached for the ballots.
A president who chose the moon as our new frontier.
And a king who took us to the mountaintop and pointed the way to the promised land.
Yes, we can to justice and equality.
Yes, we can.
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 Yes, we can to opportunity and prosperity. Yes, we can to opportunity and prosperity.
Yes, we can heal this nation.
Heal this nation.
Yes, we
can repair this world.
Repair this world.
Yes, we can.
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 Yes, we can. We know the battle ahead will be long. But always remember that no matter what obstacles stand in our way, nothing can stand in the way of the power of millions of voices calling for change.
We won't change.
We have been told we cannot do this by a chorus of cynics. It will only grow louder
and more
dissonant. We've been asked to pause for a reality check. We've been warned against offering the people of this nation false hope.
But in the unlikely story that is America, there's never been anything false about hope.
What change is all?
I want change.
I want change.
I want change.
I want change.
The hopes of the little girl who goes to the public school in Dillon are the same as the dreams of a boy who learns on the streets of L.A.
We will remember that there's something happening in America.
That we are not as divided as our politics suggest. That
we are one people.
That we are one nation. And together, we will begin the next great chapter in the American story with three words that will ring from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.